let's not wait anymore. Here it is, our interview with Graham Hancock.
The following is an ATS Mix exclusive interview.
Well, Dave, we have been trying to get this gentleman on our show for, well, since the inception of the ATS
right.
Mix. And
exactly.
I could not be happier right now. Let me tell you about the guests that Dave and I have on the ATS Mix today. Graham Hancock graduated from Durham University with first-class honors in sociology. He then went on to pursue a career in journalism, writing for many of Britain's leading newspapers. He is the author of several bestsellers, including The Sign and the Seal, Fingerprints of the Gods, and Heaven's Mirror. His books have sold more than 5 million copies worldwide and has been translated into 27 languages. Tens of millions of people have been able to be exposed watching his TV appearances, including the three-hour series Quest for the Lost Civilization. He is known as an unconventional, out-of-the-box thinker who raises interesting questions about our history and challenges the entrenched views of Orthodox scholars worldwide. His latest book is entitled Supernatural, Meetings with the Ancient Teachers of Mankind. And we'd also like to encourage our listeners to pop up his website, which is located at www.grahamhancock.com. The ATS Mix is very honored to have with us right now, Graham Hancock. Hello, Graham. How are you, sir?
Hi there. Good to talk to you guys.
We really appreciate you taking the time all the way from overseas over there.
Yes, over on the other side of that huge ocean, here I am.
Hey, we have a lot of friends over in the United Kingdom, so we're excited to have one of our fellow brothers over there spend some time with us today. John, go ahead.
Very good.
One of the questions I want to just start us off with, what on earth was it that motivated a man with honors in sociology to move into archaeology?
Well, it was a series of accidents, in fact. After I left university, I went into journalism. I specialized in Africa, and at the peak of my journalistic career, I was the East Africa correspondent for The Economist, very serious newspaper looking at war, politics, famine, the economies of Africa. I used to travel very widely around the East African region, and particularly to Ethiopia. And in Ethiopia, I came across an amazing tradition. They claim to possess the Lost Ark of the Covenant, as in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And
really?
I found myself in a war zone in front of a chapel with a monk who said he was guarding the Ark. And that's when my adventure into ancient history began. I believe me, quite soon after that, I left current affairs far behind.
And, wow. And did you happen to find out if it was the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, I actually believe that the Ethiopians do have the Ark of the Covenant, and I think it's been in their country for 2,600 years. And you know, part of the adventure of that research was it was a very difficult time to travel in Ethiopia. There was a civil war going on, had to get behind the lines into difficult and dangerous circumstances, get close to some of the mysteries of Ethiopia. For example, why does Ethiopia have a Jewish population that practices an Old Testament form of Judaism, and could this be
right.
connected to the Ark? And I gradually began to put the pieces together, found a realistic route that the Ark could have come into Ethiopia, and got as close as I could get without actually getting killed to seeing the object itself. Because, you know, I mean, the sacred city of Aksum in northern Ethiopia is heavily guarded, and its whole purpose is to look after this relic that they believe, and I believe, is the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, you're a certified diver, and I was a instructor for PADI, the Professional Association of Diving Instructors, and we both have a passion for diving. Yours was cave diving. I also got a certification in cave diving as an instructor. Can you tell me about some of your experiences when you used to do cave diving?
And I should clarify, it wasn't only or even mainly cave diving, although I have dived in a number of caves, and as you with experience in this area will know, that's very risky and dangerous work, or it can be, especially if there's silt and mud in the water, which you can stir up and get yourself lost inside
right.
a cave. You need to
right.
take very, very careful precautions in caves. But the majority of diving that I've done has been down to depths of 120 feet all around the world, and primarily with the purpose of finding out whether there could be any structures underwater, ruins that have been covered by rising sea level. A good part of my career as an author, I have looked into the possibility of could there have been a lost civilization. And my book, Fingerprints of the Gods, and a later book, Underworld, dealt with this problem very, very directly. And my case has been that if we are looking for a lost civilization, we need to look for it about 12,000 years ago at the end of the last ice age, when the face of the Earth changed completely and sea levels rose by more than 400 feet, swallowing 10 million square miles of land. That's Europe and China added together. Went the equivalent land area went under the water at the end of the last ice age. And archaeologists really haven't looked under the water for the ruins of a lost civilization. So I've spent a lot of time, and some of it particularly fruitfully, in Japanese and Taiwanese waters, but also off the coast of India and in the Mediterranean and in the Pacific, looking for and finding underwater ruins that don't fit the prevailing view of history.
Well, you were talking about finding some of these structures and whatnot underneath the ocean. There is, I guess, some stone monuments that I guess were as large as Stonehenge, some 120 feet below the surface of the ocean off the coast of Japan that I guess that you had
investigated. I put in hundreds of dives on those monuments, and I played some part in bringing them to the attention of the world, because it's really a great enigma what we find off the coast of Japan. And I have indeed dived on a stone circle off the Kerama group of islands, about 40 miles west of the main island of Okinawa, down to a depth indeed of 120 feet. There's a gigantic stone circle there, definitely man-made. There's absolutely no doubt about it whatsoever, cut out of solid rock and on an absolutely epic scale. And it's part of a series of underwater monuments in the area. Truly takes the breath away. But because there's such a strong view in archaeology that they, you see, this monument at 120 foot depth has been underwater. We know from the geology without a shadow of a doubt, it's been underwater for more than 12,000 years. And the prevailing view of history is that there was no civilization capable of creating a monument on that scale 12,000 years ago. Therefore, the monument itself rewrites history. And this has led to a lot of controversy within archaeology. And unfortunately, although there are diving archaeologists, their primary interest is shipwrecks, not ruins. And this site has never really had the attention from archaeology that it deserves.
All right, now I'm going to go into an area that I know you are extremely passionate about. It is your hot button, if you will. And it has to do with something that I became really intrigued with when I first saw this movie called Altered States, which was back in 1980. And basically, it delved into an area of using hallucinatory drugs and sensory deprivation situation to go deeper into your life. And I know that you have a huge passion about this subject. And if you would just take just a few minutes and tell our listeners what you have experienced in the shamanism area.
This is absolutely central to the theme of my latest book, which is supernatural. And I never imagined when I began to research that book that I was going to end up traveling to the Amazon and taking powerful hallucinogenic plants. I had no idea that I was going to be doing that. I thought I was going to be looking at the mystery of human origins. But it turned out that this mystery, and particularly the mystery of the origins of modern human behavior and the fantastic symbolism and art and spirituality of modern human beings, it turns out, and there's really no doubt about this, I don't want to give a long, boring explanation to your listeners, but there's no doubt that it was the experience of altered states of consciousness brought on by hallucinogenic plants by our ancestors that led them to create the first great art, the art of the painted caves of southern Europe, which goes back 35,000 years, and took them out of a very long period of incredibly boring behavior and turned them into spiritual creatures that clearly believed in life after death, who started to bury their dead with grave goods, with food and with water, clearly confident that some essence of the individual continues on after death. And this was really a huge moment in the human story, and it happened less than 40,000 years ago. And academic opinion is agreed that it was the work of shamans, who were altering their consciousness primarily by the use of hallucinogenic plants and entering what they experienced as spirit worlds and then returning from those spirit realms and painting what they saw on the walls of the cave. Now, as a former journalist, I've always believed that I should experience what I'm writing about.
Right.
And since it became clear that hallucinogens had played such a crucial role in the birth of art and religion amongst humanity, and since there are still shamanistic cultures around the world that use these plants, I decided that I had to immerse myself in that. So I went down to the Amazon.